The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the Upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Well, good morning, Summit Spartanburg. It's so good to be with you. I am the other Kyle, Kyle Estep, one of the pastors and elders here, and it's really, really good to be with you this morning. Excited to open the book of Exodus again together. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. And while you're turning there, Kyle also wanted me to remind you, next Sunday is our celebration Sunday where all four Summit congregations come together to worship together. And so we won't be here. We will not be here next Sunday. Next Sunday at 10:30 a.m., we will be in Trailblazer Park in Traveler's Rest, which is a little bit of a drive for you. We're going to start at 10:30 a.m. We would love if you would come and join us. We'll have all four Summit congregations together. I think we have somewhere between 15 and 18 people being baptized. We will just enjoy the Lord and His faithfulness together. So if you're able to make it, please make plans to join us. Right now, the weather looks amazing. It's supposed to be clear and sunny and beautiful. You might want to bring an umbrella, not for rain, but for sun. Tends to start turning toward warm at the back end of that service. So bring a chair, bring a blanket. There's plenty of places to sit, plenty of places to spread out, even with your kiddos. And so we'd love to have you join us. That's next Sunday, 10:30 a.m. At Trailblazer Park and Traveler's Rest. And we hope you can join us. Then you'll be back here on Mother's Day, normal service time. So looking forward to all of that. Before we jump into Exodus 13, I want to tell you a story that I think will just draw our mind a little bit to where we're heading in Exodus 13, but also maybe a lighthearted way to talk about something really meaningful that the text talks about to get us to a place where I think in your own life you can wrestle with some of the things that that the text is inviting us to wrestle with. A few years ago, I was going on a camping trip around Lake Joe Cassie. And there were a couple other guys there, and the dads decided to take the kids on a hike. And we decided to do this because one of the dads, who was a pretty avid hiker, knew his way around all this, the area in the Blue Ridge Mountains and around Lake Joe Cassie, was like, I got this beautiful hike. It's easy for the kids. This was years ago, so my kids, you know, were between the ages of like maybe 4 and 11. He had a 3-year-old strapped on his back. There was another dad with 2 other kids. I had my 3. And he goes, it's a little half-mile hike. And you see these beautiful waterfalls, like upper and lower falls. It's just super easy. That's what we're going to do. So we drive 20 minutes, pull off the side of the road, get everything ready, get our kids pumped up, walk into the woods, and off we go. And 4.5 miles later, kids just crawling on the ground, looking for water, asking for their moms. We end up at this like river creek area and the huge rocks and the water's flowing freely, and you look and you're really close. I mean, you see the falls in beautiful fashion. It was not the hike we wanted to go on or planned to go on, but we still got the benefit. We had lunch on the rock. The kids played around in the water, and then we motivated them to make the long trek back, and we got all the way back, and we were getting ready to walk out to our cars, and the guy who was in charge of the hike, he kind of stops and he turns back and he looks into the woods for a minute, and we're all like, what? And he goes, huh. And it was one of those, like, there's something going on in his brain that we just have to know. We said, what do you mean? And he said, we were supposed to go right. We went left. Right is a 1/4 mile to a 1/2 mile hike to see the same thing we just saw. Like, and I say all that because I want you to know that God knows where He's taking you a lot better than my friend knew where He was taking us. And you'll see that in Exodus 13. But that doesn't mean that just because God knows where He's taking you that the journey will be easy. I don't know your story this morning. I don't know what everybody's walking in here with. I know this. I know there are people this morning in this building who are walking a path and a journey and a season of life that was unwanted, unexpected, longer and harder than they would have imagined. And if they could talk to God about it, and probably they have, multiple times they've thought to themselves, there has to be an easier way. And that wrestle is fair. And that wrestle is good. And that wrestle with the Lord is invited. He's not afraid of that wrestle. But I want us to think about everything that's going on in Exodus, in the story that's unfolding up until this point, to get to the point where we are this morning so that we might remember what we just sang together. Yahweh, the Lord our God, is just as sovereign over the journey as He is over the destination. And we have to remember that because life will throw all kinds of twists and turns and bumps and hills and roadblocks and long, hard things at us. And it will rarely be what we want. It'll rarely be at the time we want it. It'll rarely be in the season that we want it. It'll rarely be the way that we want it. It'll rarely feel like the journey we would have picked for ourselves. But Yahweh, the Lord our God, is just as sovereign over the journey as He is over the destination. Exodus is such a beautiful, beautiful book where it speaks of God's people. And one author said it this way. He said, "This is the greatest redemptive event in the Old Testament to which subsequent revelation points to again and again and again." It's not just historical moment, this historical moment that we're looking back on. It is in fact that. It's a historical moment. But it's also this revelatory cosmic event where God is revealing Himself to His people in a multi-generational kind of way. And what I mean is everything that we're reading and studying as we navigate through Moses' God-given account of the Exodus events are meant to expose our hearts to the living God, to shape and form our understanding of who He is, to be read in the whole story of God to help us understand the life that God is actually granting to us, and then to remember and pass all of those beautiful things that He reveals about Himself to one another, on to future generations. And so you have monument markers of grace happening in this story time and time and time again. And we come to Exodus 13, and they are finally moving toward their great freedom. They're finally on their way out. And the context that you come to in this setting is they are leaving Egypt after hundreds of years of bondage and slavery and mistreatment and injustice. And they are finally seeing the powerful and mighty hand of God keep His promise. And they come to a place where in one sense, they know the way. They know the way to where God is going to lead them. And it's nearby. It's kind of close. You could see it almost like you could go, I'm standing here and there's a direct route to where I want to go right there. Like a half a mile away. And God's going to go, oh, I actually want you to go this way. It's longer. It's harder. It's going to be more frustrating. It's going to be more challenging and difficult. You don't want to go that way. It's not the way you desire to go. I need you to go this way. And I will reveal to you as you go who I am, what I'm doing for you, what I will do through you. And I will hold everything that I bring into your life on that road into the perspective of a way for you to keep walking, learning, and trusting, and developing a faith that knows and understands. I'm sovereign over all of it. I'm powerful over all of it. I control in my love and my wisdom and my grace all of it for you. Listen to Exodus chapter 13, starting in verse 17, with a story that, if you have heard it, probably was accompanied by some really amazing flannel graph fire and clouds. Well, that's dating some of us who knew Everlasting God and others that we sang this morning. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. And they moved from Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. This is God's word. It's just a few short verses with really powerful imagery about God's presence among his people as he leads them. But I think this small piece of the end of chapter 13, before you get to another miraculous and powerful moment of God's demonstration of his love and sovereignty and protection and wisdom and care for these people, before you get to the thing that you can think of when you think of Exodus, you have this really beautiful, revelatory word about who Yahweh is. And the first thing is that Yahweh is wise. Yahweh is wise. The indirect route seems foolish to us on the outside. There's a way that's near. There's a way that's closer. There's a way that's faster. There's a way that's easier, it would seem. But the indirect route that seems foolish to us is anchored in his knowledge of them in love. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. God knows them so intimately. He knows them so personally. He loves them in his knowledge of them, that he actually understands that if they go what is to be the perceived easier route, there will be a strong temptation to look at what's in front of them in their fear, run back to the thing they know, even though it's bondage. He knows what they cannot and can endure. His wisdom is lovingly aware. It's not just that Yahweh is wise, it's that he is lovingly aware of who you are in his wisdom. He knows you. It's like you have to go back even into the earlier chapters of Exodus and you get reminded he sees them, he knows them, he hears them. So when he comes to them in their departure and he takes them on the longer outer road toward the wilderness, he's wise. And it's his wisdom anchored in his love for his people that chooses the way they should go. Which is helpful for us if you ever find yourself on a path or a journey or a season of life that was unwanted, feels longer than it needs to, and feels harder than you want it to, and you're looking back at God going, what are you doing? Perhaps just a helpful reminder, Yahweh is wise, his wisdom is lovingly aware of who you are, and he is not leading you toward the longer, more difficult road unnecessarily. Maybe, just maybe, there are things to be learned about who he is, about who you are, and about what he wants to do in and through you in your life that can only be learned on the journey you are presently walking. And that's where he leads. The second thing I think we see this starts to show up is actually in verse 18. It's not just that he's leading them in this wisdom, he's leading them intentionally because of the fact that his wisdom knows what he's going to do, not just what they need, but what he's going to do. So they are going the way of the wilderness, but to go by the Red Sea. Like maybe, just maybe, now we can look back and go, oh, God knows what he's doing. Yahweh knows what he's up to. But this other kind of revelation that happens is that Yahweh is faithful, and it shows up in a really unique way in verse 19 when they start talking about Joseph's bones. Because if you're me, I'm reading this, and I'm sometimes way too, like, just straightforward. But I read it, and I go, huh, why are we bringing up Joseph's bones? Why is that important for us to remember? And I think what you start to see here is that Joseph's bones being brought along are more than just the honoring of an old leader's dying wish. I think what's happening when you get the mention that Moses takes the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. You get this monument of faith that Joseph had for them to look back upon, and the monument of the faithfulness of Yahweh. It's interesting because this moment is actually celebrated in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 22. This is what the author of Hebrews says. He writes in this kind of infamous chapter that celebrates the faith of the saints and the faithfulness of God. In chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews in verse 22, it says, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. That when Joseph was going through and enduring everything Joseph had to endure. Now, if we want to swap stories this morning and compare long, unwanted, heavy, hard journeys, stand up next to Joseph and plead your case. His brothers threw him in a pit, left him to die. Then saw somebody come and sold him into slavery. All to get to a point in Joseph's story where he at one point looks at his brothers in mercy and grace that he could not have come up with on his own, but actually looks at them and says, it wasn't you who brought me here, but God. For you. Now you have this reference to Joseph who looks at the people of God, the Israelites, and says, hey, when you leave here, think about that. When Joseph is dying and they are in Egypt and they are entering into this centuries-long season of bondage and slavery. And he goes, so when you leave, take my bones. I'm going with you to that place. So when they take out, you realize Yahweh's not just wise, Yahweh is faithful. Because Moses' bones are tracking along with them as this monument of grace that Joseph believed the promises of God. But also this monument of grace when people keep picking up the bones and taking them with them, that everyone in camp there can look at and realize God is faithful. Joseph's going where he said he would go, and we're carrying him there. Yahweh is wise and Yahweh is faithful, and Joseph's bones are like this tangible, palpable reminder, not just to those who knew him, but to future generations. Look at what he said Yahweh would do, and look at what Yahweh is doing. And they just keep carrying Joseph along with them. It then moves on into the really powerful imagery that takes place in verses 21 and 22 when you get them kind of encamped on the edge of the wilderness. They are on the outer path. They are on the longer road. And they are camped out in a very hard place. Even practically, just sheer practicality of the circumstances and the context of where they are. is difficult. And it says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light that they might travel by day and by night. And in verse 21, I think you get this continued kind of stacking of revelation of who Yahweh is. He's not just wise. He's not just extremely faithful. He's near his people. Like when you're on the road that he is leading you down, when you're walking the path and the journey, the way in which he is instructing you to go, he does not say, you go that way, I'll go this way, see you at the end. Good luck over there. Every hard thing you endure, he is there. Every unwanted, unexpected twist or turn in life, he is there. Every providential thing God has for you to walk through, he walks with you. That's the power getting revealed in the cloud of in the cloud and in the fire, is that Yahweh is a God who is near this pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. These do not leave the people because his nearness is what they need. He never leaves them nor forsakes them. He proves to be faithful to them in his presence. And so you go, hey, it's hot in the wilderness, cloud by day, walk with me, I'm with you. It's dark at night, fire by night, walk with me, I am with you. Keep moving. When I say go, we go. But I'm going with you. And one of the easiest things to forget when the road turns and it's long and it's hard and it's challenging and it's difficult and practically it's heavy and weighty and costly and you don't understand why it's going this way, you don't understand where everyone's at, you don't understand where God's at, one of the most practical things that shows up in this story is the constant reminder, not only is Yahweh wise and not only is he faithful, he is with you. And there you start to see what actually transpires in the move forward, which is not only is he those things, but he will lead them all the way home. Verse 22 says, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. So we know that he's near and he does not forsake. But the real beauty is this is going to connect you to another miraculous moment in the story of Exodus. And I'm not going to steal the thunder of whoever's coming here on Mother's Day to teach that passage, but you kind of know where we're going, right? I mean, you know where we're going. See? Didn't steal it. Didn't say a word about it. But what you understand because of what God has revealed, what Yahweh has revealed, is that Yahweh will lead us all the way home. And what I mean is God knew where he was taking them. The promised land is just that. Promised. Like I think about all the descriptions of the promised land and I think about all the things that were to accompany the people of God in the promised land and all the provisions God wanted to give them in the promised land and all the ways he'd fight for them to get them to the place he was taking them and all the ways he would fight through them to continue to deliver the things he had promised to them. But it's sometimes much more simple to stop and remind yourself the promised land that God is taking them to is just that, promised. Can I trust the promises of God? The wrestle on the long, hard night in the unwanted path is not actually whether or not God will keep his promises. It's whether or not I believe it. Think about everything God has done in the Exodus up until this point. The wrestle for the people being freed from the bondage of Egypt is not actually whether or not Yahweh will keep his promise. He actively is. It's whether or not they believe he will keep keeping it. It's whether or not when the journey of deliverance is met with unexpected, unwanted, hard, challenging, difficult, brutal circumstances, that they'll still lean back in, remember the bones of Joseph, remember the mighty hand of God, remember the powerful deliverance of Yahweh, and say to themselves, he's wise, he's lovingly aware of who we are, he's actually faithful, he'll never forsake his people, he's near and he's always near and he'll be near to the end. He will lead us all the way home. This part of the story forces us to remember that sometimes God's leading is by the longer, unexpected road out of Egypt rather than the direct, presumably easier path. And the wrestle is not whether or not God knows what he's doing and why he's doing it, or whether or not he will actually accomplish what he set out to do. The real wrestle is, will we believe him along the way? And to them, and to many times us, it seems less efficient and unloving and even downright frustrating when God chooses the unexpected and unpredictable path. But almost always, and I'll say almost always because sometimes the road is consequentially harder than he intended because of our own sinfulness and faithlessness, but even there he is like immeasurably merciful and gracious. But almost always, God is working toward a greater good for us and for his glory. And while we tend to walk kicking and screaming like kids who do not know the beauty they're about to behold at the end of a long, hard hike, or the joy they're about to experience, Yahweh is constantly saying, I know the way. I know the way you ought to go. I know the way to get you there. I promise you, I will go with you there. It's interesting as you think about the context of this pressed up against our life. My guess is there are some people in this room, we alluded to it earlier, who are walking down some road of life in this moment, in this season, and it's not what you expected, and it's not what you predicted, and it's not what you wanted, and you're not enjoying it. Not thoroughly, anyway. And I'm not trying to parallel too much of the Exodus journey that God is doing and working miraculously on their behalf to bring them as his people to the place he's leading them to our lives. But I'm also not trying to detach it too much because I think Yahweh works this way all the time in the midst of his people. And what I mean by that is I think he's always wise and he's always faithful and he's always near and he always will keep his promise to bring us all the way home. That's not detached from this. I think how can you and I then, in the wrestle to believe it, trust him? And I thought about the season we just came through, Holy Week. Do you want to talk about an unexpected path to the people around him? The unexpected path that people observed Jesus walked? I think Jesus knew exactly where he was walking. I still think he had to trust the Father and the wisdom of the Father to walk obediently down that path. But you think about the imagery of Holy Week, right? He comes storming into Jerusalem on a war horse to take over Rome. No, he comes slowly and humbly in on the back of a donkey to sacrifice his life, to pay the ransom that many would become children of God. If you think that maybe, just maybe, I'm walking this road and God doesn't understand how challenging it is, it's this constant, subtle, powerful reminder. Jesus actually knows the longer, harder, unpredictable, as it were, at times, way. And you know what he knows? He knows why he was going. He knows what he was accomplishing. He knows that what he was doing in his own life would be a greater salvation and freedom, fully accomplished, finished, and complete on behalf of the children of God. So he took the longer, harder, more difficult, agonizing road for the joy that was set before him. He was obedient even to death, death on a cross. That's the peace that allows you and I to look at our present circumstances, evaluate our present lives, remember Yahweh, and actually echo the truth of Scripture. Wise, faithful, near will bring me all the way home. I came across a song not too long ago, and I think we have time to listen to it together, and so we're just going to play it over you. And if you're on that road this morning and there's just something that you're currently navigating and walking through that is not what you expected, not what you wanted, and not what you would have asked for, I hope it's just a small prayerful reminder that the one who endured the cost the most, the one who endured the pain and the agony and the difficulty of the long, hard road to the cross, sees you, knows you, hears you, and loves you. And in his seeing and hearing and knowing and loving of you, he is still who he revealed himself to be all those years earlier when he was first leading the people of God out of Egypt. He really is. And I said it numerous times this morning because my own heart needs to remember it. Wise, faithful, near, bringing you all the way home, just like you promised. Let's listen to these words together. Pay attention to the lyrics, regardless of the music or the voices, if that's your thing or not your thing. Try to just allow your heart to hear what is being sung over you as a reminder of the promise of who Yahweh is and who Jesus is, who walks with you and never leaves you.
Pour yourself like precious gold into what is broken. Take these pieces, make me whole. Beauty still unfolding. Even in my wounds I see, Jesus, you've been good to me. Scars of gold, how you hold my heart to. Cup be day.
Yahweh is just as sovereign over the journey as he is the destination. We're going to just stand and sing just the chorus of the goodness of God together. And some of you in this room can sing it out and sing it loud and sing it with joy. And you're looking at life right now just celebrating God's goodness and his faithfulness. And it comes; those words come easy to you. And others of you, it may be a faith-filled strain to just stand and enjoy what we're singing. And I would tell you, if you find yourself presently on the long, unexpected, unwanted path, let the people of God sing and believe with you and for you and over you, holding on to the promises that Yahweh does in fact see you, and he does know you, and he is walking with you, and he will bring you all the way home. Because he is, in fact, sovereign over this journey you're on. And we're grateful for that. I'm thinking of Psalm 16 that was read over us this morning. You make known to me the path of life. It may not be short. It may not be direct. It may not be easy. But in your presence, there's fullness of joy. And at your right hand, when you bring me all the way there, there are pleasures forevermore. All my life, before, present, and yet to come, you will be faithful. Let's stand and sing those words together as a benediction and a prayer. When we're done singing the chorus a couple times, you are free to go and trust the Lord is with you and loves you. And we'll see you next Sunday in Traveler's Rest, Lord willing.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you. So we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.